नमः पदं बालस्य पश्यतो धाम स्वं अगात् गरुड ध्वजः सोपि संकल्पजं विष्णोः पाद सेवपा साधितं प्राप्य संकल्प निर्वाणं नातिप्रीत व्यगात् पुरं सोपि संकल्पज विष्णो पादसेवपादसितं प्राप्य संकल्प निर्वाणं नातिप्रीतो यगत्पुरं सोपि संकल्पज विष्णो पादसेवपसादितं प्राप्य संकल्प निर्वाणं नातिप्रीतो व्यगात्पुरं सोपि संकल्पज विष्णो पादसेवोपसादितं प्राप्य संकल्प निर्वाणं नातिप्रीतो व्यगात्पुरं
Translation of the first verse. The great sage Maitreya said, after being worshipped and honored by the boy, Dhruva Maharaj, and after offering him his abode, Lord Vishnu, on the back of Garuda, returned to his abode as Dhruva Maharaj looked on. Purport. From this verse, it appears that Lord Vishnu awarded Dhruva Maharaj the same abode in which he resides. His abode is described in the Bhagavad Gita 15.6. Yagatva nivartante tadhama paramam mama. And now the second one, word by word. Saha, he, Dhruva Maharaj. Api, although, Sankalpajam, the desired result. Vishnoha, of Lord Vishnu. Padaseva, by serving the lotus feet. Upasaditam, obtained. Prapya, having achieved. Sankalpa, of his determination. Nirvanam, dissatisfaction. Na, not. Atipritaha, very much pleased. Abhyagat, he returned. Puram, to his home. Translation. Despite having achieved the desired result of his determination, by worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj was not very pleased. Thus he returned to his home. Purport. By worshipping the lotus feet of Lord in devotional service as instructed by Narada Muni, Dhruva Maharaj achieved the desired result. His desire was to get a very exalted position, excelling that of his father, grandfather and great-grandfather. And although it was a somewhat childish determination, because Dhruva Maharaj was nothing but a small child, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is so kind and merciful that he fulfilled Dhruva's desire. Dhruva Maharaj wanted a residence more exalted than any ever occupied by anyone else in his family. Therefore, he was offered a planet in which the Lord personally resides, and his determination was completely satisfied. Still, when Dhruva Maharaj returned home, he was not very much pleased, for although in pure devotional service there is no demand from the Lord, because of his childish nature, he had demanded something. Thus, although the Lord also fulfilled his desire, he was not very pleased, rather he was ashamed that he had demanded something from the Lord, for he should not have done this. So, here in these two verses, okay, Dhruva Maharaj is now he fulfilled his desire. His desire was to get the abode of higher than any of his father, grandfather, great grandfather, means Lord Brahma. So now he achieved it, but as here Srila Prabhupada nicely explained, he was not satisfied. So why is that? Why would he not be satisfied since he fulfilled his desire? As soon as he saw the Lord, then all his desires were fully, he had no other desires than to serve the Lord. So he achieved realization. He achieved self-realization. He realized who he is. He is the servant of the Lord. So he fully surrendered at that moment to the Lord. And done that, then he realized that it was very foolish to not to do that. To desire something from the Lord. That was not very pleasing. he could not have been pleased by that he desired something. His realization was that he is a servant. So as a servant, what is his position? As the servant, he should fulfill the desires of the Lord. And for a devotee, it is a very awkward situation when Lord fulfills the desires of the devotee. So Lord does that. He is very pleased. He has no problem with it. Krishna, he is supreme. And he does not need to prove it to anybody. And nobody really bothers. Nobody wants Krishna to prove it. The devotees definitely not. They are pleased with Krishna's reciprocation. Krishna is the supreme. Now, the devotees, now knowing that, then as they serve the Lord, then Krishna reciprocates by serving them sometimes. Examples we have in Bhagavad Gita. What happened there? Arjuna, he is the hero. And what does Krishna do? He serves him as a charioteer. Of course, I mean, Arjuna knows who he is, who Krishna is. But Krishna, he is not displeased by the position that he is seen as a charioteer. He is pleased that he can serve his devotee. So, when Lord does that, then he does it out of reciprocation. He does it out of relationship to the with the devotee. So we have to understand this. Dhruva Maharaj, he desired something. Narada Muni, he instructed him, okay, you want to achieve this, then chant the mantra, worship the Lord. So Dhruva Maharaj, being very obedient and very determined to get that, he did what Narada Muni, as his guru, instructed him. And then, as he achieved the result, and actually because he was so pure in his execution of the devotional service, then Lord appeared to him. Now, his realization is, he was foolish, he should not have done it. Now, we may think, well, okay, so he was foolish, no? So why is he so pure devotee, why is he in Bhagavatam? We have to understand one very important point. That to get to the realization, it may take somebody a moment. It may take lifetimes. But once the person realizes who he is and who is the Lord and his position to the Lord, it does not matter how many lifetimes it took, how much effort and what. It's all past. He got the realization. Then we should not be judging, oh, he was foolish that time. Who cares? That's not the point. He got the realization. He knows who he is. He get to see the Lord. He get to serve the Lord. So, that's something which we have to be very careful considering seeing ourselves, seeing others. Because it is Haridas Thakur who considers seeing the past and referring to the past that, oh, he was like this or he was like that, as Vaishnava Parat. We don't want to do that. So, realization is important. In South India, Actually, there was one Sri Vaishnava. Then he was worshipping Shalagram Shilas. And after 20 years of worship, then he realized that actually the Shalagram Shila is the Lord. That he is worshipping the Lord, Lord himself. So for us it may seem, that's far out. So he didn't know that he is worshipping the Lord. Do we know? Do we see no difference between Krishna and his form as Archavigraha in the temple? Do we see them the same? Do we see them as different? We may say, 20 years it took him. So, is it long or is it short? The devotee is very fortunate. He realized that the Lord is present in the Shalagram Shila. He got the realization. So it doesn't matter that 20 years he didn't know. Yeah, that's for us, we can learn from it. We can be more careful about our own service. But he was very fortunate. So we should pray to the Lord. We should pray to the Vaishnavas. So we also become as fortunate as him. Because really, it doesn't matter how long it takes. It matters how we proceed. We also should not think that just by achieving the realization, then everything else does not matter how we achieve it. We should not think that the goal justifies the means. Because that's not true. To achieve the realization, then we have to still keep in mind that Lord Krishna, he is the Supreme, he is the Master. So we have to always consider our position. We have to see the Lord as the Master, and we are his servants. And we can never overstep the line. If we do that, then it's going to be something, it's going to be Rasa Bhas. And that will break the relationship. Or at least, it will affect the relationship. So we have to be very careful about how we treat the Lord, how we treat the Vaishnavas. If we, in humble state, understand who we are, then everything will be realized. Just follow the process as Srila Prabhupada establishes. So what do we need to do that? How to get the realization? We need education. Education is very important. So how do we educate ourselves? What is there to educate? So first, in the Shastra, education is divided into Shravana, Manana, then Nididhyasana. So Shravana means then first acquire the knowledge. It is important to hear. It is important to read. But what do you do with it? Okay, you can even browse internet if you are into it. You can get the knowledge there. But what do you do with it? You have to contemplate on how do you use it? That's manana. If you just gain the knowledge and then you are happy with that, that you can show off what you know, then it's useless. You have to contemplate on how do you use it in your practical life. And then by using it, applying the knowledge in your life, then you gain the realization. Once you gain the realization, then you teach it. You preach. That way, then your understanding your realization will deepen. And it's not necessary, it's not important to really know everything. What's important is what you know, you should know how it connects to the Lord. So, there are two aspects. And the aspects are always remember the Lord and never forget. So these are the main principles to which we have to connect our activities. If we know how to link, how to connect these activities to these two principles, then everything can be realized. We understand our position, we will gain the realization. If we cannot connect it, then in that aspect, then we are not realized. In that aspect, then there is a problem. So we have to seek how to gain the realization. Dhruva Maharaj, he is a great example. He wanted to achieve something. Then the aspect of he wanted to gain. Now, what did he do? He had very great fortune meeting Narada Muni. But as soon as he met him, he understood, yes, this is the way. So he took that very seriously. And based on that, he followed the process of devotional service and he achieved the result. So he applied the aspect of never forget Krishna. Now, how many of us here have a greater desire than Dhruva Maharaj? I mean, who is thinking of really having the greater abode than Lord Brahma? Okay, maybe some do. But this is very excellent example of that Lord can fulfill every desire. So if we have any other desire and we don't know what to do with it, okay, here it is. Follow example of Dhruva Maharaj. Engage yourself in devotional service. At the present, the mind may be conditioned and we don't know what to do with it. So we may try all these new age techniques and this, that, but they will not give good results. What is the best way of to control the mind, the body and the words? Chant the holy name. So by doing so, you achieve the result. The result also will be most likely that you will not want it anymore. Well, that's a side effect. Because of the realization that actually I don't need it anymore. I have got something higher, something better. So I'm not interested in it anymore. But again, great example of Dhruva Maharaj. Okay, Lord, he gives him the kingdom. He gives him his desire. Now, Dhruva Maharaj fully surrendered. He felt a little awkward. But because he is his servant and because of his realization, he didn't argue. No, please don't give me. No, I don't want it. No, he felt that he didn't want it. But Lord knew that. But Lord wanted to show the greatness of Dhruva Maharaj. He gave him the kingdom and he took it, even though he was completely detached. He took it just to fulfill the desire of the Lord, not his anymore. So here, Dhruva Maharaj applies both these principles. Never forget and always remember the Lord. By that he achieves perfection. So each and every one of us can do the same, just simply by following the process of Sarana Bhakti. So why not to take the example and now apply it? If somebody tells you that yes, it was like 5,000 years ago or even more than that, that applied that time. But now, no, different times and different circumstances and different this, so that doesn't really apply. It's a mythology, and don't listen to them. Srimad Bhagavatam is a scripture which there is no time limit on it. It applies to everybody at any time. So, as the process of devotional service applied in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, the same way it applies to every one of us. The difference may be that Dhruva Maharaj was very serious, very sincere, very determined. Are we? Maybe. But to the extent we are, to that extent we get the results. So if somebody is not getting results, look into yourself. Don't look into that the process may be faulty, or the book is too old, or this and that. These are useless arguments. The process is faultless. And this is the real process of education. Because it leads you to understand who you really are. And it gives you everything what you need in your life. And it gives you the real happiness. Isn't it that that's what we are all looking for? So then, why don't we take it? By doing so, the process is here, the results will be there. So, yeah, very nice example. Any questions to this? Yes.
Krishna, please protect me, please maintain me. And also, in Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Instruction, it's explained that the gopis are exalted amongst all the devotees of the Lord because they're totally dependent on the transcendental cowherd boy, Lord Sri Krishna. So my question is, how can somebody not want anything from Krishna and at the same time expect it to be totally dependent on him and be wanting to be maintained and protected? Seems like the two things are contradictory.
When Madhavendra Puri, he wanted to serve the Lord. And then as he went to the temple, then he saw that beautiful kheer being offered to Krishna. So what was his thought? I would like to taste that kheer because I want to cook the same kheer for my deity. So he didn't have any desire to enjoy himself. He just wanted to know how it is, so then he can do it for the Lord. Now, when it happened that when he was out of the temple meditating, then a covered girl, she brings and then some pot of kheer. So then he tastes the kheer. He understands, okay, now that's it's excellent. from that he gets so much into ecstasy that he realizes that the person who brought the kheer was not just an ordinary person. So it was Srimati Radharani herself. Now, he didn't feel good. He as a devotee, he is there to serve Radha Krishna. Now, that he, as a devotee, he creates a situation which involves the Lord has to serve, then he naturally feels not so good. Because he considers himself as a servant, and a servant who is fully surrendered does not want the master to perform the service to him. It's a relationship. But whom else do we have to really rely on? Who is the real well-wisher? It's only Krishna and his devotees. So, we cannot, without Krishna, we are useless. We cannot do anything. Anything which comes to our mind, anything which comes to our intelligence, anything what we can do, it's by the grace of Krishna. But, so without him, we cannot do anything. So what we do, it's by his grace, and we do it for his pleasure. Because everything is Krishna's. So we may take the material elements, we may create something, we may create offering. But we don't create it, it's not there, we only put it together. So we offer it to the Lord. So we take Lord's property and we offer it back to the Lord. But then we may say, well, what's the use of it? The use is that by taking the what's Krishna's and making it into something out of our devotion, then we offer it back to the Lord. So we don't offer Krishna that item which basically, no, it's made out of the elements. We offer Krishna the devotion. That's what Krishna appreciates the most. To be able for us to do that, Krishna will give all the facility what we need. We may build a temple, but we cannot say that that the cement is ours, that we made the marble, we made the steel. We used it. We borrowed it from the Lord. But with devotion, we put it together such a way so then he can reside in the temple. So the activity of building the temple, this is the devotional service. This is what Krishna is looking for. So that way then we can perform the devotional service. But we cannot think that it's by our no greatness that we can do it. We are not a doer. We only serve. So a devotee who has the understanding that he is just a servant, so he takes whatever his master no give him, the facility, and he uses to serve the master. So the gopis, they know very well who Krishna is. And they are very happy if they can serve him. That makes them happy. Sometimes for the relationship, then Yoga Maya creates various pastimes when Krishna serves the gopis. But they are not really desiring that. It's for the pastime, because it creates, deepens the relationship between Krishna and the gopis. So the gopis, they don't desire Krishna serving them. They don't consider themselves as the masters. But the pastime, when it happens, it's for enhancing the relationship. When once Krishna was having a headache, and he asked the gopis, please put your feet on my head. They didn't hesitate at all. Said, okay, if that makes you happy, no, why not? The great munis, when they heard about it, they were so astonished. How is it possible that the gopis could have put their feet on Lord's head? They could not do it. So how is it that the gopis could do that? The answer is because they are so surrendered. They just want everything for Krishna's pleasure. So they would serve him no matter what. If it brings them to hell, or if it does anything, it doesn't matter. But it must please the Lord. Many acharyas pray. It doesn't matter where I go, what I do. Only please, my Lord, make sure that I can perform service unto you. I can go to hell. I can go anywhere. But I want to perform the service unto you again and again, continuously. And if you put me into a situation which is materially the most opulent which it can be, but if there is no possibility of performing service to the Lord, I don't want that. That's useless. Queen Kunti, what is she praying for? She is praying for calamities, difficult situations. Let's go back to the forest. She is a queen. She is a queen. And they have the full earth as the kingdom. Now she is praying for going back to forest. Why is that? Because when they were in the forest with Krishna, then their realization were the strongest. They fully dependent on the Lord. So they took care of each other. They helped each other. And Krishna was there, and as he could, he did help. But that enhanced the relationship. So by being in a difficult situation, we may remember the Lord much more intensely. That's the point of which Queen Kunti is making. We want to remember the Lord very intensely, with very great determination. How can we surrender to the Lord? How can we serve the Lord? What can we do to please Him? Because He is the object of our love, at least He should be. And then, if we are sincere, then by the grace of the Lord, by the grace of the Vaishnavas, we will find a way. When Srila Prabhupada was traveling to America, what did he have with him? Just few rupees, that's it. So how come that he achieved such a great result? because he was fully dependent on the Lord. So he did not come with the idea, I will show everybody how great I am. He came to the West to bring Krishna. And Krishna gave him the opportunity. But Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, he never for a moment thought that he could have done it without Krishna. So he performed such a great service. But that great service he could have done because he was so dependent on the Lord. For us, the same, to the extent we understand that without the Lord, we are unable to do anything. Then Lord will reveal in our mind what is it that we have to do, how we have to perform our service. Through Guru, through Sadhu, through Shastra. He will reveal. We just have to follow. But if we put our own desires into, well, I don't want to do it this way, I would like to do it, no, the other way, and this, that, or this looks more, it looks better, I can serve this way, no, nicer. Well, if it's not supported by Guru Sadhu Shastra, then the results will not be ideal. So it is up to us how we want to serve the Lord. We are not looking for Lord serving to us. For a devotee, this is not a pleasing experience. But the devotee, he knows that without the Lord, he cannot do anything. So he accepts what's necessary, and he takes it such a way, so he can make it into something which he can offer to the Lord. That's his desire, because that pleases the Lord. So if somehow you come to get huge amount of riches, what will you do with it? No, I'm renouncing it. No, just no, burn it or throw it into the ocean. I don't want to see it. That won't be the best. Krishna may give us opportunity. Okay, here it is. Use it. Distribute it. Give it to charity. Use it for the service, so you can perform something, you can do some great preaching. That's how Krishna may seem serving the devotee. But the devotee, he doesn't take it as a service to him. He distributes it among everybody else. So he offers that to the Lord. That's the devotional service. So that's what we are looking for. Yeah. What does the word realization mean? At times we get a strong urge to leave everything and only love Krishna. And after some time, again, one gets entangled in other things. Can that urge at that time be set as realization? And if not, how can we know that now we have realized? Okay, realization. Realization actually means using in real life. That means applied knowledge. Now, realization is a process. We may realize something at the moment to some extent. So yes, we have got realization. But that realization may not be complete. We have to continue to desire to know more how we can connect that activity to the Lord. By contemplation, applying it, then we get greater realization. Now, and okay, example, you can have say cooking. Now you learn how to cook something. You learn, somebody tells you how to cook rice. So then now you know how to cook rice. And then what do you do with it? Are you happy with, okay, now I know how to cook rice? Or will you cook rice every day? Now, if you cook rice every day, or you cook rice once a year, then is there any difference in the quality of the result? A person who does every day, he knows how much water to put, how long to soak the rice, then how much ghee to put in the rice to get the best result. Is the rice new? Is the rice old? If old, how long? How old it is? Based on that, he puts that amount of water. So older the rice, then he puts more water. Then which water is the best? And he, by cooking the rice every day, he realizes how to make it perfectly. And then, besides that, then he goes on, and then once he knows how to make rice, then he can make pushpana, he can make lemon rice, tamarind rice, various kind of rices. So just with rice, he can create unlimited meals. And all is based on the knowledge that he knows how to cook rice. So person who learns how to cook rice, then he has the knowledge. But if he is not using it, if he is not applying, is it useful? Is it useful to say, yes, I have read how to cook rice? Who cares? You cannot really use it. Once you use it, then the result comes. So you apply the knowledge, the result comes. It may not be very good for the first time. Oh, I didn't put enough water. Try it again. So you realize that if you put less water, the rice will not be cooked. It's a realization. But it's not very deep. Use it to get the result, to get the perfect realization. So next time, don't put less water. Put more. Put salt. How much salt? How long to cook it? When do you see that the rice is done? So all these, by practice, you become perfect. Perfect means that you realize it, and that's the depth of the realization. Same thing with this, is with the devotional process. So yes, sometimes we don't know how to act, what to do. Consult Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. If you don't know, you have a doubt, consult others. See what should be done. Act according to their advice. Next time you come to the situation, you will know how to act. So through the detail, you apply the principle of Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, you can connect it to the Lord. So eventually, you will know how to apply the principle in every situation. By seeing the principle. Because the principle is, anything we do, we have to connect it to Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, and through them, to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj did the same. So realization is that you apply the knowledge and you figure out, you get the realization that who you are, what you are supposed to do. Now the depth of your realization may be different from the depth of somebody else's realization. But as long as you are determined to realize what is there, you will. in time. Just apply the process of devotional service. Another very important aspect is, if you want to really gain realization, then associate with those who have realization. Because by associating with people who have realization, you also gain the same realization. This is very important fact. So people who are maybe very academically, very scholarly, but they don't apply what they have learned, by their association, you won't gain so much. But people who may not have a great knowledge of some books, but whatever they know, they apply in their life, those are much better people to associate with, because they have realization. So through them, you will gain the same realization. So that's important aspect of devotional service. Don't overlook that. Yes.
I want to ask, which is the proper type of embarrassment? Because in the reciprocation with the deity or the Lord or the our superior, sometimes this embarrassment, it can interfere with the flow of the spontaneous like reciprocation. Like the Lord, he takes some pleasure to see how you are receiving those blessings he gives or those desires he fulfills, and this thing. He's observing and he's waiting and he's happy to see how you receive. And sometimes out of embarrassment we behave in such a way that we destroy this what he expects to see in us.
The pleasure, means his pleasure.
Yeah.
No, yes, sometimes he gives so many things, and he wants to see, okay, how are you going to act? What are you going to do? So that one doesn't want it, doesn't know what to do with it, Krishna may take pleasure from that. Because he sometimes does that. But he wouldn't do anything which we cannot deal with. So, since we don't know, then we should consult somebody who knows. So then, when we consult somebody who knows, then we know what to do with it. So we solve the situation. When Arjuna was in the dilemma of killing Ashwatthama or not, right? Draupadi said, don't kill him, even though he killed my sons. Bhima said, kill him. So what to do? You have to, he doesn't want to displease anybody. So what does he do? He has knowledge, he has great knowledge of the Shastra. So he knows that, okay, from Ashwatthama cutting the jewel and then shaving his head is like to kill him. Because for Kshatriya it's as good as that, but at the same time he is not killed. So he applied the knowledge and he get the great result. That's because he is very knowledgeable, he is highly learned person. As Rupa Goswami defined, highly learned person is one who has great knowledge and he has a great character. So if he wouldn't have great character, so he said, yes, I should kill him. No, okay, yeah, that's what I want to do, I'm Kshatriya, I'm supposed to kill, so no, just kill him. But then he will not please Draupadi. So that's not, because Kshatriya doesn't mean killing, Kshatriya means protecting. So he knows what his position is, he knows the Shastra, he knows how to apply it. So he immediately applies it and he pleases both. So he is very highly learned person. So we have to do the same. Now Krishna gives something. And now, if it's supposed to be for our service, if it's going to help us in our service, helps us to enhance the relationship with the Lord, to please the Lord, take it, use it. But if you are going to misuse it, give it to somebody. If some devotee offers you, oh, here, computer, take it. And if you have some work and then write some books or read some books and do that, then yes, use it if it's really helpful. But if you are going to watch movies and all other stuff like that, what's the point? It will take you away from the devotional service. Give it to somebody. You will do better yourself if you give it to somebody who will use it properly. But this is our free will. Free will in the sense, what do we want? If we really want to serve the Lord, then we should know how to. And if we don't know, consult Guru Sadhu Shastra. So Krishna gives something through his devotees or by himself. There is no need to really feel embarrassed. It's there, okay, so we got it, we used it. And if I cannot use it, okay, give it to somebody else. So see how that enhances your relationship with the Lord. That's all.
I wonder the feeling of embarrassment itself. You mean that by understanding how this which is given is meant for serving the Lord, then the embarrassment will...
See, embarrassed, we may feel embarrassed because of the false ego. We may feel embarrassed, oh, no, Krishna gave it to me. He understood how great devotee I am. No, oh yeah, but others shouldn't see that. No, so then I should feel kind of like I don't really want it, but... in fact, actually, yet I really want it. So, because if we understand, well, okay, Krishna gave it for me to use it. And I can use it, so let's use it. There is no need to really feel embarrassed about it. The immediate reaction may be, why me? But then, it's Krishna's desire. So if Krishna wants me to keep it, okay, I'll do and I'll use it as best as I can. If I find somebody else who can use it better than me, I'll give it away. I'm not attached.
So this feeling of worthlessness, when Krishna gives something and you think, oh, but I am not qualified to receive, so how are you giving me? Like, and then by this, do we...
Okay, we are not qualified, yes. Okay, I am worthless, I'm not qualified. Alright, but Krishna gave it to me. So let's use it. I mean, he gave it. It's not that I fought for it. So he gave it. So he must have some reason. So he knows. I don't know. I'm worthless. I don't know why. But okay, he gave it. So then let's use it. At least I can please Krishna. But no. Don't give it. Don't give it. I don't want it. No. Then, oh, I'm so bad. No, I cannot. No. That means kind of like that we are so bad that even Krishna cannot do anything about us. We are greater than Krishna in that sense. Krishna knows how bad we are. Krishna knows how worthless we are. But he arranges such a way so then we can come out of the of this material world. And we should, we always think about that, alright, yeah, I am worthless. But Krishna gave me this ability to sing, for example, right? So somebody asked me to sing, no, Prabhu, no, I cannot, no, I'm so bad, I cannot sing, no. Then, is this being humble? No. It's false.
But what is supposed to understand his position also? That's what is my dilemma,
understand his position, yes. So, when opportunity comes to perform devotional service, then devotee should perform devotional service. So if he is good in singing, he should sing. If he is good in cooking and somebody asks him, please, can you help us with cooking? Yes, I will be there and I'll help you as much as I can. But I'm not the in charge, so I'm not going to take over your kitchen and then tell, order everybody what to do. No, please tell me, no, how can I help you? And then in that sense, one can help. Or we have now Abhishek happening. So it's not that, okay, no, so I'm the big guy here, so then I take over everything and then everybody has to listen to me. No, the pujaris are the one who says what needs to be done. And everything else doesn't matter on the status or whatever. They listen to the pujaris what they should do. That's service. And there is nothing to feel embarrassed about.
So is it like...
It's the false ego.
Egocentric.
Feeling. Yes, yeah. That's the false ego. So we should get rid of that.
There can be no higher feelings of embarrassment, like because of thinking that we are what they are.
Embarrassed maybe, yes. But it doesn't stop you from doing the devotional service. If you reject, no, I cannot do it, no, I'm so low, I cannot, then that's immature. We may, I don't know why Krishna chose me, I don't know why Krishna gave it to me, I don't know why I got this, but since I got it, then I can do some service with it. Yeah?
To know if we feel like Krishna gives something and we feel worthless and embarrassed, should we let this feeling be there, or should we think this is just my
feeling? If the feeling is there, it's not a big problem. Just don't get it away in your performance of devotional service. You may not know why Krishna is giving you something. So you may feel embarrassed, okay, I'm not qualified, but Krishna gave it to me, so maybe I should become qualified, so maybe I should ask what to do with it, how to deal with it. Maybe I should learn something, maybe I should be determined to use it. Not that, oh no, I don't want it. And if we really cannot use it, give it to somebody who can.
ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की श्री प्रभुपाद की जय नित्याय गौर प्रेमानंद की।